Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help you on your quest to a satisfied mind. Today, Dave and I are talking about some of our top of mind, today anyway, stories, truths, and messages that we find stirring. You know how any given day, this is just the best. And then another day you go, right. Yeah, but this one's just the best.
Well, the neat thing about story is it's transgenerational. And like you're expressing right there, you know, it transitions through any experience of your life over and over again, because our lives just unfold and the scriptures apply to it all the time. So it's transgenerational. It spans centuries and cultures with timeless relevance. And that's why we're here, to talk about the king and his kingdom.
Well, I think you should start. What's one of your favorites?
David is one of my favorite characters.
Actually, he is mine too. I don't know why that is. You and I both really love...
It's because he has the same name as me, and that's why you like it.
No.
There are so many... I think I like David because he is just so normal, and his life was just so imperfect. But that didn't keep him from having a heart after God. We talked about Peter a day or two ago, and the same thing there. You know, despite the challenges of life, the personal challenges that they had, they saw through it all and were able to love God. And that's how I feel about David. You know, things did not necessarily go the way they did for his son Solomon from a perspective of comfort and recognition or whatever. He was a warrior. But God met him in the midst of the war and walked with him and drew his heart in. So that makes David really special to me.
Yeah, I like him too. And I love some of his prayers, just the things that he says. Who am I?
Yes, that's one I wrote down. And we'll talk about that in a second. But how about you? You know, what when you think about your favorite characters?
Well, I have lots, but one of them that struck me the other night when we talked about this was Peter and Paul when they're in prison. And
oh, yeah.
It always is better when you set this up than I do, because your pictures are so much more complete.
Well, you know, they're in a very hopeless situation. You try to imagine a Roman prison. It was not probably like a sheriff's jail cell here or like Gitmo or anything like that. I mean, it was, you know, a very, very bad situation. They were in shackles, which I've never been in shackles in my life. So I try to imagine that in my mind.
It seems like it would cut, and you can imagine them being rusty and heavy.
Well, let alone the hopelessness that you would feel, because you were thrown in jail because you were proclaiming the message. And, you know, the leaders around at the time didn't want to hear it, so they were thrown into jail. So pretty hopeless situation.
But why that story stirs me.
No. But
no,
that's,
I just was wanting to set
that's
it up.
That's the setup to it, because, you know, you imagine being maybe a torch, but probably just in the dark. By and large, it kind of feels that way when the jailer comes in.
And see, you set it up so well, because then they were singing and worshiping God.
Yeah, and how do you do that
situation? I think of all the times in my life, and now I really don't want to limit what we're calling worship here. I don't want to just call it when we're singing, you know, with a group on Sunday morning. That's a very limited view of worship. That's just one time when we do
one
it all
aspect.
Together. But there are lots of times in my life when there is worship. But I also think about all the times, and the reason that this strikes me is because I'll think, I've had a hard day, I can't quite clear my mind.
Yeah.
Or I'm upset about something, so I go ahead and consternate on that. Distractions are terrible. And then when it comes to the corporate stuff, you know, the drums are too loud, or although I like drums, you know, somebody's too tall in front of me. I didn't find a good parking spot. I just think about all the things that keep me distracted, keep me from worshiping, and they're so minor. And that's why this story is so stirring to me, because they had every single one of those things.
Yes.
Every single one, and they worshiped God.
Well, and plus you just have this sheer fear that, you know, you would have had from a human perspective.
Talk about a distraction.
Well, wondering about tomorrow and then to have God intervene. I mean, it's a...
And certainly they had the same things that we had. I don't fear death, but I fear the process, depending on what I think that might look like.
Well, David, as we talked about a little bit earlier, is David had a whole heart. And this is the easiest way for me to remember this. David had a whole heart. His son Solomon had half of a heart. Saul had no heart. And so it's almost like a course in understanding the human heart when you look at those three men and how they responded to their circumstances.
Yes. And when you sort of list their sins, it's interesting because they're all they all have them. And yet David gets listed as one having a whole heart. And it's because he never left God. He kept coming back to him.
Yeah, even when he had a lot of reasons to, you know, cower in the corner, which again is why I love Peter, because, mm-hmm. you know, talk about reasons to give up.
Yeah.
And just to, you know, crawl into your shell. But this is in 2 Samuel 7. It's also over in Chronicles if you're looking for it. And I'd like to just talk about it a little bit because there's some principles in here that talk about having a whole heart, and it's part of what makes David one of my favorites. Then David the king went in and sat before the Lord. I just love this mm-hmm. picture. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me thus far?" And in that statement, there is so much familiarity. And I know you enjoy this too. And mm-hmm. you have this in your personal relationship with God where, you know, it isn't that we don't think God is great and that he's holy, but he's approachable to us because we've been called friends of God. And in this passage, I see David acting on that friendship.
Right. It reminds me of the Hebrews passage where it talks about we can now go boldly to the throne of grace. So, you know, you see Peter doing that when he made mistakes. You see David doing that when he did. And I want my life to emulate that because I know when I have blown it, I'd rather hide.
So David sits down in front of God. And it sits before the Lord, as it says, and he continues his thought and he says, "And yet this was insignificant in your eyes, O Lord God, for you have spoken also of the house of your servant." And I love this concerning the distant future. "And this is the custom of man, O Lord God." And this is another thing I love about David is that in his Psalms and in his prophecy, because he is a prophet, he's explaining to us that there is such a thing as eternal life. And this mm-hmm. this concept develops as the scriptures unfold. And David is the first one that encapsulates it into the hope of his relationship. A lot of the other people trusted in God for the future. But it was almost like you live a number of years and then you die and you hope in God. David really adds a lot of information to that, and he helps us to begin to understand what it's like to contemplate eternal life.
Well, and excuse me, it seems like it differs too, because early on when he loses a son, he talks about Sheol, and that seems a little...
The grave.
The grave, yeah, and that seems a little more shallow. Oh, that's a terrible word to use, but... It's just not as the future hope as he seems to talk about as he gets a little older and has more depth and more understanding of God.
So David experiences a familiarity, and that's one of the things that I've tried mm-hmm. to cultivate in my relationship with God, being comfortable. I'm respectful, but I'm comfortable going before God. And I also try to always remind myself when I'm experiencing things in life that there is a future hope. Well, that kind of leads then into his next statement in this passage in 2 Samuel 7. "Again, what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, mm-hmm. O Lord God. For the sake of your word and according to your own heart, you have done all this greatness to let your servant know." And I love how David embraces the faith process. He sees his role in it. He sees where he fits in. But he doesn't take anything for granted, and he doesn't take any credit for it. He recognizes right. that it's a work that God is doing in his life, and that's, again, why David is just such a stellar example to me personally.
Well, and when you talk about embracing the faith process, I just love one of my stories, and it's just a couple of verses in the Bible, and it's about Benaiah.
Oh, yeah.
But this story is so cool, and I'm going to actually read it because it's so short. "Benaiah, a valiant fighter, performed great exploits. He struck down Moab's two mightiest warriors. He also went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion."
What's the deal with that?
Absolutely. "Who chases him? I'd be running the other way. And he struck down a huge Egyptian. Although the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, Benaiah went against him with a club, but he snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. Such were the exploits of Benaiah. He, too, was as famous as the three mighty warriors. He was held in greater honor than any of the 30, but he was not included among the three. Yet David put him in charge of his bodyguard." And just that whole thing of embracing faith, when you do that, I feel like it makes me a warrior. And that's kind of what I love about this. It makes me, it gives me a drive. It gives me a courage that I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to be a ranger or a SEAL or that, which is what that kind of reminds me of when I read mm-hmm. that.
Yes, it does.
But I just love that he is not afraid to chase a lion. Now, why would you do that unless he was, you knew he was going to threaten something else? But just all of that, I love the being a warrior, a mighty warrior, and that's what I want to be in my life.
Well, it tells you a lot about David and just the way he lived his life and who he surrounded himself with.
Yeah.
I mean, they were very courageous, valiant people. They weren't chickens.
Right. That's the same word I was going to use.
Over into the corner. There's a lot of courage involved. And what's neat about David is there was external courage because he did have to face some pretty formidable mm-hmm. enemies, not the least of which was Goliath. But in the midst of that, he also faced the enemy of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought God into that process. And as that unfolded, and this is kind of how this passage, and thanks for talking about that, because I forget about that pit on a snowy day.
Well, I mean, just the whole thing.
Oh,
just...
man. We could talk about that, just the metaphor, the word picture there that we could develop. Mm-hmm. But he finishes this passage in 2 Samuel 7. You want to say something? I can see.
No, okay, go ahead.
For this reason, and this is a conclusion in it. For this reason, you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, and there is no God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And so this is the beautiful thing about David and about the Psalms. They often end in a breathless looking at God and saying, you are the one. And mm-hmm. that is such a beautiful contribution to my faith. Back to the God story, David brings that into my life.
Interesting that you say that, because one of my other stirring, something I go back to pretty regularly in my life, is after Jesus fed the 5,000, then he has a long talk with the disciples, and at somewhere in there, he gives them some kind of hard teachings, and a bunch of his disciples actually stop following him. It says
right.
Many disciples turned away. And so he asks Peter, well, what do you think of that? And Peter's response is, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. And I can't tell you how many times in my life I've thought, I quit, or I don't like how this is going. I'm done. I've had it. I quit. I quit. And then I think, where am I going to go? No one else has the words of eternal life. And I love that.
I want to take just a second and talk about my book, Curious Journey. You know, some stories, we were talking about David's story. Some are difficult to hear. Some stories make you cry. And some stories make you laugh your face off, which I prefer.
Yeah.
Life is all about connecting, and story is the doorway to meaningful human interaction. And your story is the real story. So when you see your story through God's eyes, asking good questions can open up rivers of understanding. And perhaps you enjoy hearing the stories of others just for the sake of getting to know someone else more deeply. And that's what my book, Curious Journey, is all about. And I invite you to join us as we uncover God's unique imprint upon each other's lives by going to fourthstream.com. And you can go over on the side, on the right-hand side, and there's a picture of the book, Curious Journey. It's a pretty easy read, but it's a good thing to stimulate conversation in your own brain and in your mm-hmm. own heart. But it's also a good thing to hand to somebody in your family or hand to your spouse or maybe a friend and just say, hey, let's talk about our story. This guy is talking about his story pretty mm-hmm. simply and straightforwardly. Well, how does that reflect on our story? So it's kind of a tool that I'm offering to you, Curious Journey. Check it out at fourthstream.com.
One of the things I love is what you said about asking questions, learning how to ask good questions of people as you talk to them, but also as I read the Bible. I have never been very good at asking good questions. And that's really good for me to be around other people that have learned how to do that. That's taught me a lot because I have a long way to go in that.
Fourthstream.com. It's a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's programming in its entirety, go to fourthstream.com and click the radio button.
Together, we are finding hope at fourthstream.com.